So I'd like to start this morning by telling you about the very first overnight stay I had at hospital, which was only just a few weeks ago. It came about like this. I was at work, I think it was a Wednesday or something, and around lunchtime, I started to feel a bit of pressure on my chest. It slowly got worse and worse, kind of like a balloon expanding, and it got harder and harder to breathe, and it started to hurt. After a while, I started to panic a bit, because all I could think about was, this is probably a heart attack. I recognize these kind of symptoms. I've heard about them before. Difficulty breathing, pressure in the chest. I think I'm having a heart attack. And I was in the canteen having my lunch at the time. And right then and there, I found that I had a decision I had to make. Do I tell someone or do I not? I was worried and scared about what might be happening to me. But I didn't want to tell anyone. I just hoped and prayed that it would just go away. I realized with hindsight, and because many people have told me, that this was a really stupid thing to do, that I should have probably just told somebody. But I wasn't thinking straight, and I really, really didn't want to cause a fuss. I didn't want to cause a scene. I just sat there, slightly in the fetal position, just hoping that nothing would happen and it would blow over. And incredibly, after about 45 minutes, it did go away, and I was just about all right to carry on working. So I went through my day as normal, drove home, again, maybe not the sensible thing to do. I came home, I told Kath, and she was understandably pretty cross about this. So after talking to her and calling my mum, who's a doctor, for advice, we ended up going to A&E at about 7 in the evening. After some investigation, it turns out it wasn't a heart attack, phew, but it was what's called a pneumothorax. Now, if there are any tall, thin men around you that in here who've had this before, or any medics know, a pneumothorax is when a little hole blows in your lung, and it fills your chest cavity with air. So that's where the pain came from, and that's why I found a difficulty breathing. So they said it was a little bit too big to let it just die down on its own. So they very kindly stabbed me with a needle to get rid of the air. They kept me in overnight to see how I was, to keep an eye on me. And that was my first ever proper overnight stay at hospital. In the morning, they said that everything was fine, did another x-ray, no problems, you're free to go. So thankfully, it wasn't a heart attack and I was all right. But at that moment in work, when I was sitting having my lunch, when I was in distress and I didn't know what was going on, I had a decision put in front of me that I had to make. And that's what we're talking about today. The decision that we all, at some point, need to make for ourselves. And we're concluding our sermon series on the 4 points, which are these 4 symbols that we can use as a tool to help explain the Christian gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to our friends, family, people we meet in our lives. And in fact, you'll find little tracts of this on your seats if that'll help you today. The last few weeks, we talked about the first 3 points. And today, I'm going to talk about the last one, which is the question mark. However, because we've had a week off from the church weekend, I'm going to recap what we've gone over so far. So the first symbol is a heart. It means God loves you. His love is unconditional and unlimited. He loves you more than you can imagine or express, and more than anybody has ever or will ever love you. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more or less than he does right now. God made you to love you and to be in a relationship with you and to know you. And his greatest desire would be that you know him and love him back. That's our first point. The second point is the symbol of a cross, but it's not the cross we're used to seeing in church. It's the kind of cross that means you've done something wrong. the cross that used to pop up on old 90s quiz shows when someone said the wrong answer, went, uh-uh. And that means that we've got something wrong. It means we've done something wrong that the Bible calls sin. Now, sin is everything we do that puts us first rather than God. It's when we choose to live for ourselves and not for Him. 2 weeks ago, George described it as missing the mark, which is exactly what it is. God is perfect and holy and righteous as well as loving, and we can't live up to the perfect standard for our lives that He puts in front of us, that He asks of us of. And instead, everyone falls short of this. Everyone. Sin damages our relationships with friends and with family, and it separates us from God. And the Bible teaches us that sin ultimately leads to death. But that's not the end. If that were the end, it would be a really rubbish... everything would be really rubbish, actually. But instead, God had a plan to sort this out. He had a plan to deal with sin once and for all, and His plan was and is Jesus. The third symbol is the cross of Jesus, the cross that we see up there and you'll see in churches all over the world. Because God's plan was to send Jesus to earth and for Him to take all our punishment that should be ours because of our sin on ourselves. The penalty for sin is death. And Jesus took the sin of the whole world, past, present, and future, on Himself. And He chose to bear that burden and die in our place, on that very cross, on the cross which is our third symbol. This means that God in His mercy now looks on Jesus instead of us and sees in Him that our sin has been dealt with, that the penalty has been paid, and that barrier between us and God can be finally broken. Jesus died so that we can live. And not just live, but live in relationship with God, who loves us more than we can comprehend. And that all sounds fantastic, but it doesn't stop there. If the gospel were just these 3 points rather than 4, everyone in the world would be Christians. But they aren't. And this is because even though God has done His bit to make a way for us to be in relationship with Him again, make a way for our sin to be forgiven, we still need to do ours. And we have to make a choice. We need to choose to live for God. That's what the fourth symbol's about, the question mark. Or choose not to and face the consequences of that decision. That's what we're talking about today. That's what the fourth point means. And I'd like to quickly preface everything I'm going to say with this. I know there are many, many people here who have already made this decision to live for God, whether very recently or many years ago. If that's you, please keep listening to what I'm saying. This sermon's for you as well. I encourage you to take this opportunity to look back on that decision you made and to reaffirm it. And also to listen to what I'm saying, to get the tools you need to explain these 4 points to the people you love, the people who will see you and ask you about that wristband you're wearing or the sticker you've put on your car, and help you explain to them why they need to make a choice and what that's all about. So, you might ask, why is there a choice to make? This is what I kept coming back to when I was preparing this sermon. Why do we have to do anything? Why do we have to make a decision? If God loves us so much and has made a way for us to be saved from our sin through Jesus, why does it not automatically apply to the whole world? Well, from the very beginning of the Bible and from the beginning of creation, God has given us free will. because he wants us to love him back genuinely with all our hearts, not because we have to or because we need to, but because we choose to. The book of Genesis describes how when God made Adam and Eve in the garden, he told them not to eat the forbidden fruit, the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but he gave them the free will to decide whether to follow his will or not. In fact, most of the Old Testament, the part of the Bible that's about God's relationship with his people Israel, can be summed up by him loving them and calling them to himself, only for them to turn away from him and to do their own thing, to choose to go their own way. And that breaks God's heart, but he gives people the choice to do that. This is because we always have free will. And so God gives us free will whether to accept Jesus' sacrifice for us or not, and whether or not to choose to enter into that loving relationship with him that he so desires for us. He's given us a way to do that through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, which we'll be celebrating in a few weeks' time at Easter, but he doesn't force it on us. It's up to us to make that decision to follow him. We also have to choose to accept Jesus because we need to recognize our sin. We need to recognize the punishment that we should be due because of it and see the suffering that Jesus went through to take that punishment away from us. That God forgives us because his perfect justice has been fulfilled in Jesus' death. Sin requires death. Jesus died for us. That justice is fulfilled. But we can't be forgiven if we aren't sorry for what we've done and if we don't ask for that forgiveness. The Bible says that those who ask will receive, but we can only ask if we realize that we need to ask. If I realize that we have sinned, we have lied, we have done things that have upset other people, that may have upset God. If we realize that we need God's forgiveness for those sins in Jesus' name. But I think the final and most important reason that there's a choice put in front of us is simply because Jesus asks us to choose. Our reading this morning that Philip did was from John chapter 3. And in it, Jesus explains the gospel beautifully. The most quoted verse of the Bible, John 3:16, which our reading started with, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And the crux of this for our point today is it's those who believe in him shall have eternal life through Jesus. And in the passage, Jesus follows on from this by giving a very stark contrast between those who believe and those who don't. He says those who believe are not condemned because of their sin, but are saved through his sacrifice. But those who do not believe are condemned because they haven't believed in him and they haven't believed in his death and his resurrection, which means the penalty for their sin still lies firmly on their shoulders. Unless we recognize and accept that Jesus paid the price for our sin and ask for forgiveness in his name, and we choose to turn away from that sin and turn towards God, then we still bear the weight of that sin ourselves. And we have to face the ultimate consequence of that, which is death instead of eternal life. Similarly, in Romans, one of the letters that St. Paul writes in the New Testament, he says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." And again, this affirms that We need to believe and openly confess in Jesus. We need to say our yes to Jesus to be saved by him. And confessing that Jesus is Lord is both recognizing that he's the Son of God and that he is God himself, but it's also declaring that he's the Lord of your life. When I say Jesus is Lord, I'm saying that I recognize that the way I've been living is wrong. And I'm asking Jesus to be in charge of that, be Lord of my life instead of me. And I'm saying that I'll do everything I can to follow him rather than do what I want to do. Because I know that his way is far better than my way. And that's basically all I have to say. I can't really think of anything else but that we all have this choice put in front of us, every single one of us. Going back to my story earlier, when I was at work and I thought that I was in serious trouble and I had to make a decision, I had to decide to tell someone or not, I know that I made the wrong decision that day. Because if it had been a heart attack, you'd have had to find another preacher. I wouldn't be here. As it was, I was delighted that it wasn't life-threatening at all. But the difference between these two choices is that we know the consequences of both choices put in front of us today. We know what happens when we choose to follow Jesus and what happens when we choose to go our own way. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ when you choose to believe in him. And this can't be ignored. The enormity of the cost paid for us and the love shown by Jesus on the cross in doing so, it demands a response from each and every person who hears the message. And I realize I've talked a lot about God the Father who made us and God the Son, Jesus, who died for us. But I've not mentioned the third person of the Trinity today, because we as Christians believe that God is three in one. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job in all of this is to open your eyes to the truth of everything I've been saying. He shows you that the four points are true. He shows you God's love for you. He convicts you of your sin while pointing you to Jesus, who can be your savior because of the sacrifice he made for you. So if you've not made a decision yet to follow Jesus, and you're sitting there now and you have serious butterflies in your stomach, or you're wishing you were anywhere else but listening to me right now, or maybe you're thinking, I've been in church loads, I've heard this message loads, but today it's finally clicked, then I believe that's the Holy Spirit working in you and prompting you to make this choice, to respond to God's love for you that he's shown in Jesus' sacrifice today. And so we'd like to give you the opportunity to make that response, if you'd like to. We don't often do this, particularly in the morning service, but as we're finishing our series on the four points that explain the gospel, and as I'm talking about making a decision to live for God, we couldn't pass up this opportunity to give people the chance to make that decision for themselves, who maybe haven't done that yet. So I'd like to invite the band back up. And we're going to have a few minutes with the band playing quietly when you can sit and think and pray and digest what I've said this morning.